So no one told your stories, we're gonna break this way. Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast with three
we'll
friends.
We'll be there for you.
Because you're there for us too.
Everybody's going to think we're going to do Friends.
We're not going to do Friends.
Jar Jar runs away from his wedding and meets up with his friend Monica back to Central Perk, their favorite place.
We're just coming in with this energy because Matt saw the Friends reunion, really liked it. I mean, Friends is a great show. This is Story Breaks Where Everyone's Podcast, where three Hollywood professionals
write a movie,
gush over Friends, and also
we're three friends just hanging out in an apartment in downtown LA and just trying to find love and happiness.
We're writing a Star Wars Jar Jar script. One page at a time.
Word by word, letter by letter.
Letter by letter, hour by hour, inch by inch, one bloody episode at
one
a time.
One quarter mile at a time.
Next movie we should write, we should do a Fast movie.
We should just do a Fast movie, yes!
Yes. Well, you brought me such joy in this moment.
Okay, what would you do? Is it the next one or is it the ultimate? Okay, so there's
maybe
two options.
Maybe you should just write Fast and the Furious meets Jurassic Park. Clearly, the universe is crying for it. Our mentions blew
we
up this
Fast
week.
We did Fast and Furious meets Jurassic Park.
Yeah, well,
Park.
We didn't write the movie, though.
Actually write it.
My parents are always like, you want a job in Hollywood? You just got to go knock on the door, give them your resume. You know, that's going to be this. This is how we're finally going to get our big break.
Okay, actually, I'm down. Sorry, everybody. We're just confident about this episode. Because now we're going to take a little detour and talk about Jurassic Park meets Fast and the Furious.
I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Matt Arnold. I guess I'd be a Chandler. Will, what are you?
Matt, we're two Rosses and a Joey over here. Let's be honest.
Two Rosses and a Joey.
I do have Joey energy.
Okay, so here's the thing. Do you know what's good about that? Is we could just write Jurassic Park and Fast and Furious. Because kind of like Star Wars and trying to do his own Buck Rogers. Like, if nobody takes it, we just call it like Dino Cars and it's still a good IP.
That's
like,
true.
Like, literally, yes. There's nothing that... That movie and concept is so good. It's like, fine, you're lost. We won't fucking call Fast and Furious meets Jurassic Park. We'll fucking do our own IP.
Joke's on you. Three guys with a podcast will finance a $200 million movie idea.
We could do
okay,
this.
All right. Hey,
all right, but we're not here to write Fast and the Furious meets Jurassic Park.
Because if we had written that, we wouldn't be here, frankly. AKA, we wouldn't have a podcast anymore. We'd be in our mansions.
This podcast would be coming at you from my mega yacht. That's not true. The Fast and Furious writers don't have boat money, do they?
They got boat money.
Oh my
God, fucking kidding me?
The Fast and the Furious writers
have
boat money.
If you Google Fast and the Furious boat, you will see a picture of the Fast and the Furious writers on a boat somewhere.
Right, Chris Morgan, and I'm going to look up Chris Morgan boat.
I mean.
Ah, damn it. There's an Australian rower. So it's completely messed all
I'm
my search
sure
results.
I'm pretty sure that's in the WGA minimum basic agreement, if your franchise makes it to 9 movies,
you get a boat.
Have to give you a boat.
You don't even buy one, they just get you
that
one.
That was what the 88 writers strike was about. It was about home video residuals and boats.
I mean, why do you think there's so many Nightmare on Elm Streets? They're like, we're getting that boat one way or the other. Like, they literally, the WGA's like, they're not gonna get to 9. And there's that like 5-year break, and like, no, we're getting my fucking boat.
I'm getting that boat.
We're gonna find a way. Okay.
All right, anyway, so where we last left off with our friend Jar Jar, he's one step in to his crazy plan. So he is convinced Darth Vader and the Emperor to let him essentially set bait for the Resistance to break out Kroke so he can get in with the Resistance to get this information that he says they have. But really, he's going to plant false information while trying to stop them from blowing the city.
And by the way, a good turn is, especially since we don't know that he has...
Freddie, are you still looking up boats?
Huh? Yeah. I'm going to get there.
Freddie just weirdly absorbed over here, being pretty quiet, and I'm like, he's still looking for boats.
He's not on Wikipedia. We know that.
Listen,
for sure.
I think I found it. I'm just going to check through his media on Twitter to just take a look if he's ever taken like a selfie on a boat. You know what I mean?
Okay. So what?
But keep going, guys. I got
Freddie's
your back.
Figuring out, while Freddie's figuring out whether the writers of Fast and Furious has enough money to buy a boat, just thinking ahead, because yes, we should talk about exactly what this next specific scene is. Mm-hmm. But a good turn is Jar Jar just did this on the, like, what Jar Jar knows is that he's going to plant fake information in this town. That's what Qui-Gon wanted him to do. And now he's told the Emperor and Darth Vader that he's like, hey, I'm going to go get you quote unquote real information that, as far as he knows, doesn't exist. It's not like Qui-Gon's like, hey, they are actually talking to all the senators out there. We're trying to protect that. He's like, no, we're just going to fucking this up. So a good turn would be he gets there, just like ready to kind of ready to like start rebellion. And it's like Bail Organa's there, like all these people are there. And it's like,
they actually are.
The thing he lied about is actually happening. And like now he's got a GPS on. It's like, by doing this, he may have actually endangered everybody worse because now like all this stuff, like he essentially called it. He's like, no, this is the center of the fucking New Republic.
How did you literally brought us.
So you're saying like he bumbles into a bigger thing.
Yeah. I mean, essentially he's like, it's just constantly gets like bigger and bigger for him. It's like at any moment, it feels like Jar Jar may have chaplained his way into destroying the rebellion before it begins.
I don't know if it's a bridge too far. I was going to say the other element here is the big Death Star laser or the proto laser, which needs to go off.
Yeah.
Something has got
to
get blown.
That's their plan. It's like his plan is that he's going to go to that city, tell them what's up, and form a rebellion to go destroy the laser.
So he's really not even at this point planning on planting fake evidence.
No, he's like, I'm not going to do
that. So he's like, maybe it's like, oh, okay. So yes, what you would do is essentially that it's like, he gets in with them to meet the resistance. And maybe he swipes the plans and the location of this laser, right? Yeah. And he's going to show them and be like, we can take this laser. The Emperor has a meeting of the Red Council, and we can take out the Red Council with the laser.
Yeah.
Right? Like maybe something like that.
Yes.
And then they're like, all right, sweet, let's do that.
Maybe he wants to blow it up.
And then they are like,
we're going to turn around and kill everybody in Theed because they're all.
So they're going to blow up Theed instead of New Century.
Yeah. Jar Jar's like, war's really horrible.
Wow, war's hard.
War's hard.
War's tough.
He's just a gentle soul that's not made for war. I mean, that's the tragedy of Jar Jar. Like, it's
okay. This is getting complicated.
Well, yeah, that's why it's a good spy.
I need like a flow chart here.
It was easier when it was just like, how do you rob a dumpling shop in heaven? This is like, where are all these different sides and powers? All
right.
He puts a tracker on Jar Jar.
Yes.
So obviously, just thinking ahead, like that's the next payoff, or at least a big payoff, whether there's other stuff, but like that's going to be fun. Like they're probably going to find it on Jar Jar. There's also a fun thing where it's like, are they listening? Do you literally have a scene where like Vader and the Emperor are like, you know,
smoking cigarettes
like around computers, be like, God damn it, Jar Jar, like what he's doing?
Palpatine's eating Chinese food like he's been sitting there on a stakeout for 8 hours.
And Jar Jar's like, hey, friends, like, okay, like tell me about the rebellion. They're like, man, he's really obvious. And they're like, we're just normal Gungans. Like, Jar Jar's blowing this. He's terrible. But it's because they see the GPS or whatever.
Freddy, how you doing? What do we find?
Do we find a boat?
I was just thinking about stakeouts. And I wonder, how cool would it be on Yelp if you could, you know how you can be like check open now or like sort by trending or whatever. What if you could click a button and it was like good for stakeouts,
like good stakeout takeout?
Yeah, like good stakeout takeout, you know.
I was
like, I'd eat there.
It's stakeout takeout. Maybe you should start stakeout takeout.
Stakeout takeout. It's all greasy white paper bags and like everything's in bags.
Well,
I don't know what else is in
it. The trick of movie food is that the prop designer always wants to do something that's immediately identifiable as food. That's why every bag of groceries in a movie
has a baguette
and a stalk of celery poking out of it. Because here's the beauty of a Chinese food box in a cop show don't need actual food on set. They can just poke a pair of chopsticks around in an empty Chinese food to-go box, as opposed to being like, well, why don't they get burgers or pizza? Because then you've got hot food out on a set under Mole Richardson lights.
Yeah, you're right.
And continuity, they're like, hey, that burger is getting bigger and larger as it goes, but like a box of Chinese.
Yes, that's true. You can be like, all right, eat a noodle. And then
you're like, he's not getting
you.
And you're looking at you're like, how much food's he getting out of that thing with those two sticks, huh?
Yep.
Not much. Rice.
We know what you're up to, prop designers.
Let's just think one step ahead. We're getting too big for our britches. We're thinking hard.
What is the next scene?
We were talking specifically, he's been told, hey, so you're going to go, quote unquote, break out croquet, right? That's what we were going
to
say.
This is the little loop-de-loop I wrote in there to maybe get us out of some shoe leather. I was also like, Jar Jar did this knowing that the resistance will probably come try to rescue Croquet. So could it also be that he helps them rescue her as opposed to him breaking her out on his own? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In which case, the next scene could be a stakeout because they're like waiting for the rebels to make their move.
Well, the point is that Jar Jar is going to get in with the rebels. That's what he's told.
Yes,
Darth
the
Vader
next scene, whatever,
and Qui-Gon are assuming that Jar Jar is going to disappear for a couple of days because he's going to be out in the forest pretending to be a loyal Gungan for the Republic. So like that's what he needs to do. So it'd be strongest for him to get Croquet out. Also, it could give us, we were talking about like a fun scene could be he lets Croquet out. Croquet sees the GPS. Croquet runs away from him and he's got to chase Croquet. And you get like an action scene like 70 pages into our Star Wars movie where like they're on a run or whatever, like something like that.
Yes.
Like a good chase. But like, it's a car chase, but you do like a fun thing. You do, what's this diner? The stupid 50s diner.
Ooh.
They're doing like a 50s car show. So that way we get an old fashioned
car chase. What? It's everyone's favorite type of action scene. They're moving Croquet to New Centra for the execution. Mm-hmm. And they've got Croquet in that big armored fucking car from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And it's Vader and Jar Jar are like Batman and Commissioner Gordon.
They have that in Rogue One, right? There was like a prisoner transport thing.
Is there like an action scene? They just bust
not really,
out.
No, I'm just saying that this vehicle exists. Yeah, yeah, prisoner transports exist.
Classic bit, you know, like the rebels are going to come in and enter these. They know this is the best shot for the rebels to intercept them, right?
Yes.
The plan is they're going to jump them and then Jar Jar is in the middle of their attack going to help bust Croquet out to sell the thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like one of those. It's like a cool armored car sequence. You. You know what I mean?
But it's in the air. It's not an armored car. It's an armored spaceship. And it's a whole thing, but it's in the air.
Oh, you finally justify, like, I mean, I'm a fan of stunts as much as, well, more than probably a lot of people. But, like, let's be honest. Most car flips are fucking dumb because they make no sense, including the one VGHS where he hits, like, a tiny little, like, piece of road and then, like, flips 1,000 feet in the air. Because they're all just hydraulics that, like, just pump the car.
Yeah, but this car flip look. Fun.
But you have a justification for it because it should be Vader. He's like, are you ready, Jar Jar? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay, you're going to break out Croquet. And then, like, the car is flying. And then Darth Vader just, like, moves his hand and the car goes, and flips through the air, crushes. And then Croquet's like, who the hell's breaking me out? And the door opens and it's Jar Jar. He's like, I'm here to help you. And he's like, oh shit, like, Jar Jar is here
to
help
me. Do you not want
to
do that? The rebels hit the thing?
Okay, so here's the only thing I'm confused about with the rebels hitting the thing. It just seems like an extra unnecessary step where it's like, there's no. Like, do they know they're hitting the thing as opposed to, like, Jar Jar's like, hey, let me go sneak in. Like, it makes sense for me to be like, he's going to break Croquet out. Otherwise, he's like, hey, I already know that there's a plan to break out Croquet.
No, but again, hear me out.
Yeah.
Is that you do that. Jar Jar has announced this public execution, knowing that it's going to give Croquet's friends the motivation to rescue her.
Yeah.
He's like, we are moving Croquet from this city to that city.
Mm-hmm.
And they've leaked the information that this is happening. Like, they are essentially laying a trap for the rebels that is basically this scenario is going to be what allows Jar Jar to authentically insert himself into the drama.
It feels like very not smart for it just feels like a variable that's like, I guess they better hope that they're really trying to break them out in Thieves.
I guess
and like,
you're,
know how
you're like, you wouldn't
to be anything. Up. Wouldn't it be fun if that's a complication? Like, Jar Jar is like, I'm going to break Croquet out and, like, you know, again, convince Croquet I'm a good guy by breaking Croquet out and bring her back to their secret city. Mm-hmm. And then the bad guys think I'm going to go and I'm being a spy. I'm going to find out information, but I'm really going with them so I can give them all the information about the laser and try to help them, like, start a rebellion. Mm-hmm. And so he goes to break Croquet out. And yes, sure enough, the rebels were also there to break out Croquet. So it becomes a whole big clusterfuck in the middle of the streets as the rebels are fighting. And, like, Croquet obviously is like, I don't care. You know, it's like, that can be like a complication. That's like a fun, like, here's like my plan. I'm going to go break out Croquet. We're just going to sneak away. I'm going to walk into the city or whatever. And instead you get like a crazy.
I guess that's not really a complication, though, because that just helps him break them out.
Unless, like, they're all like fighting or something.
Yeah, but like.
There's like lasers and lightsabers.
Okay, so, but all right. So
it's a Croquet double and it's been a bluff the whole time? And then Croquet peels off their skin to reveal.
It would be a complication if the rebels were getting Croquet out cleanly without Jar Jar there and, like, not trusting him, because then all they've done is they brought Croquet to the city and the next moment is Darth Vader's be like, well, that was a good try, and they're just gonna blow up the city.
What is the actual complication you want? That's essentially the question, right? Like, the it's just that bone dry plot stuff now.
Oh yeah, we're in the desert. Welcome to the desert of the real.
Look, we gave him a good. I mean, it's a challenge for Jar Jar. Jar Jar, right now, Croquet hates Jar Jar. Croquet has no reason to trust Jar Jar.
Yes.
Jar Jar is essentially lying to everybody. Jar Jar needs to
convince Croquet,
it's not like he can just walk and let Croquet out. Like, that'd be too obvious. So, like, coming up with a plan that lets him break out Croquet and Croquet actually believes that Jar Jar is on her side and it looks clean and smooth and isn't, like, you got to come up with a false flag sort of scenario that, like, that everybody buys that works, which is like a tough thing to do. And that feels like that should become a fun sequence.
The heart of this scene. Okay, let's just start here. Because like, you rather than trying to work outside in, the heart of this scene is Jar Jar convincing Croquet that he's on her side, that he's not a bad guy, which he isn't, right? And then,
but not letting Darth Vader and Emperor know.
Yes, but then not letting Darth Vader and the Emperor know that he isn't really on their side.
Yes,
that is the heart of the scene. Yes. That's the crux of the matter.
Yes.
Okay. Now we've found purchase. We struck a tiny drop of water in the desert. And then, yeah, so then everything else is complications on top of that, right? Yes. And stakes on top of that, right? So, like, if they're in a armored car that's getting tossed around and blown up and shot at, and he's got to convince her to, you know, do X, Y, and Z things so they can both get out of there and go on the run, you know, and then she discovers the marker or something like that.
Let's talk about how this tracker works, because that could be the entire fun of the... Because, yes, I think we should think of it as a fun, tense action sequence. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just because... I mean, action is
important. That's the character thing at the heart of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's going to be about trying to convince Croquet to trust him. And then the complication is, like, he can't let Darth Vader and the Emperor know that he's lying. The trackers, we've set this up. That is, like, the fun plot. We need actually a clarification of how it works. Like, can they hear it in real time? Mm-hmm. Are they, like, listening? Or is it just, like, a recorder?
Or is it, like, a tile where it's, like, sometimes it works, sometimes it's in the other room?
Or is it just,
like, I know my wallet is here.
Hear me out. Jar Jar is trying, is talking to Croquet in the back. Darth Vader's listening in. But then the Emperor is in the car, too, and his iPhone is synced to the Bluetooth on the car. So when he gets in the car, it cuts off Darth Vader's being able to listen to the fucking track on his
dear. Oh, dear.
Or is it just a GPS signal? Or is it like a recorder?
Hey, Matt, you fucking idiot. GPS? This is Star Wars. Which G?
Galactic.
Yeah, idiot. And also, what do you mean each planet can have their own GPS?
But then it doesn't
work.
What
are you talking about?
But then it doesn't work if you switch planets.
Well, you just use the GPS of that planet.
Oh, so now you guys pair to the standard of the planet. Yeah, that's not... Yes,
if I can pair to different cars, I can pair to a different planet when I show up at a new planet.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty easy thing to figure out.
That's where Jar Jar gets in, because if you ever tried pairing your car to your friend's stereo...
What you just said was like, wait, Freddie, what you just said was like, wait, Matt, a map of what planet? It's the GPS of that planet. Anyways, okay. Or is it a recorder that, like, they have to recover to, like, see what's on it? Like, I think it could be anything, because, like, for example, if it's... I keep thinking about this. It's hard if it's actually literally actively listening, because essentially he would just give him out, essentially. Like, if he says anything, or you have to get rid of it so quickly that's no longer a complication. Whereas, I'm not saying this is the case, but if it was a recorder, if it's a GPS, you do some sort of tracking thing or whatever. If it was a recorder, for example, Jar Jar can just be the Jar Jar that he is and be like, Croquet, you don't understand. I'm lying to the Emperor. I'm lying to everybody. I'm putting my life on the line. You got, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you have a recorder on there. He's like, oh, no, I didn't know. And they, like, you know, Croquet grabs it and throws it, and, like, it lands on the back of the truck or something. It's like, you fool, you liar, like, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, you don't understand. I didn't know that was there. And then the truck drives away. It's like, oh, shit. Like, if that truck gets back to anybody, like, they're going to find out. Like, they go chasing for that thing while, like, they're running. Like there's a way to use it. Whereas,
so the other thing that's interesting and potentially might be a little too fiddly, you could do that. It is allowing him to essentially, it's a wire, right?
Yeah.
He can listen in on what Jar Jar is saying, but Darth Vader can't tell if what Jar Jar is saying is for real or something he's saying to convince Croquet, right?
That's true,
so like, that's what to me is a kind of interesting danger, is Jar Jar could be like, I'm fucking... Because that's essentially what Jar Jar told him he's going to do anyway.
So that's what he's saying. And Darth Vader is like, he's a good actor, I guess. Like,
yes. Wow, Jar Jar is really selling this. Or again, the Emperor is like, wow, Jar Jar is really selling this. And Darth Vader's like, yes.
Too well.
Too well.
He's no actor.
I remember seeing Jar Jar do a one-man show after he got out of the war, and he was awful. He's not a good...
He was terrible. Nobody came.
The government of Naboo shut down the entire theater.
Again, it's like that question of how Darth Vader hips to the fact that Jar Jar is not on his side is, I think, more interesting.
Actually, then the complication should be that it's a GPS. There's fun dramatic irony that we know they're listening.
Yes.
So that's a fun thing to play underneath the scene. It's a complicated sequence. And then at one point, before Croquet figures out that they're being listened to, Croquet could be giving away information. That's the danger, because Jar Jar doesn't know he's getting information.
Oh, and that's a turn, because then it's like, you've been wearing a wire this whole time.
Yes, that's a turn. Okay. And then it could also be that they are being tracked to where they're going, because Croquet is like, you know, that's not the real location or whatever it is. We could use that as well. Let's hang on to the idea that they're transporting Croquet and there's going to be a break, because that's fun. Like, that's a sequence. Like, it can be a prison. It can be a car. Like, it's a fun thing. Like, they're transporting Croquet to the maximum security prison, since Jar Jar has now said that they're executing him because they're done interrogating Croquet or whatever. So now they're going to maximum security prison. And they need to come up. And again, you can just cut ahead. It's like, obviously, yeah, the thing that happened after this is fucking Jar Jar sat with Darth Vader and a bunch of elite squad, you know, whatever, SWAT team type people, and came up with a plan of like, here's how it's going to look real when you break out Croquet, because that needs to, right, that needs to be sold.
Yes, you just sell it, yeah.
So what's the complication?
Now, let's say you do that, you know, the plan is they're driving, and then, you know, Jar Jar is going to do something and show up and be like, Croquet, I'm here to rescue you, right? You could do that. Croquet just starts laughing and is like, you're not the only one.
Exactly.
Right? And then like in that fucking Tom Clancy, what is the movie, Clear and Present Danger, where the fuck the convoy gets hit? Like the convoy gets hit and it's the rebels, right? And then the door rips open and it's Bail Organa. And she's like, I don't need you, Jar Jar. Like, fuck you.
Yes, the complication is going to be that things are going to spiral out of control. Croquet is going to get let free without Jar Jar. The city's going to get blown up and Jar Jar's probably going to be killed for being bad at his job. So, like, that's a complication if he can't be responsible for saving her.
Do you think people who drive convoys for a living are, like, have an incorrect idea of how often convoys get hit?
Convoys get hit in cool.
They probably have the exact idea of how many convoys get hit. They probably literally know better than anybody else on the planet.
I'm saying the new guy. Yeah, I'm saying the new guy shows up on
new
that convoy.
Like, so I got to keep my eyes up. Like, relax. Like,
relax.
Like,
at work,
we're picking up for three ATMs.
We're driving Cardi B to the VMAs, man. Just fucking take it down a notch.
I like that you cut from this to essentially like a Heat like scene. It's like you're kind of filling in the blanks.
Oh, we do that shot from The Dark Knight of like over the Joker's shoulder where he's holding his mask down here, but it's Darth Vader holding his helmet.
Then you also just like out of focus, you see people walk by and be like, ugh.
Is that Darth Vader? What's going on? Okay. All right. So it's our cool Heat heist, car turn, twisty thingy. The first half of this scene is Jar Jar executing whatever he was going to execute so that
we can do that. That can be our scene. That could be a nice little easy
one. Nice try, Matthew.
There's a whole lot for the next thing.
Okay, here's what you could do. This is actually pretty fun. Mm-hmm. Is that you do that there's an undercover fake rebel team that's actually Imperial guys.
Yeah.
Like dressed in, you know, like street clothes or whatever that hit this convoy, but it's really Darth Vader and his like special forces guys, right? And then Jar Jar's like, I staged this plan with some loyal defectors, we want to blah blah blah. And then she's like, you dumb fucking idiot. And she's like, what? And then like those guys all get killed because like Croquet was like, come on, like we know who our guys are.
Yes, I like that. I like that. The only thing, just to narrow down, I don't think that'd be the smartest plan for Jar Jar, because I feel like that'd be pretty easy to poke holes in. Croquet would be like, I know the rebels, like
those aren't rebels.
So like I feel like the plan would be something semi-subtle, like the car, you know, pulls over for a gas change or whatever, and then Jar Jar, you know, bribes the people up front or whatever and switches out like another gun and is like, you know, it's like something, it's gonna be something like seems small, but you also have to buy that it's real, and then it gets fucking explosive. Like also Jar Jar's expectations that this is like gonna go pretty smooth sailing sort of thing, and then Croquet's like, I'm not fucking going through, you're not saving me. He's like, we talk about, don't worry, I have no problem getting out of here, I'm just fine myself, you know, sort of thing.
Okay, I was trying to think of other potential stuff you could do.
Star Wars is up a little bit.
Star Wars is up. Can I get a little more Star Wars in here?
It up a little
give
bit.
Me a little bit of that force.
Okay, yes, in that version you do that. Jar Jar's like, I need to speak with the prisoner, you know, that's probably the easiest in, right? Like they're loading her up. He's like, one moment, I need to speak with the prisoner alone. It's like one of those. And they're like, all right, whatever. And then he like uncuffs her and is like, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
like, that's probably the simplest thing.
Yeah, it'd be
right?
Something like that. That's yeah. Okay.
Or is like, here's the key to it, but hold on, wait for my signal. And then there's a cool thing that Jar Jar does to sabotage the thing.
Oh, like he knocks out the, he's got like,
or something, like fake knockout people or whatever. Croaky is like, thanks for getting me out here. He like shoots the two people. Jar Jar knocked out. Jar Jar's like, ugh.
Let me make sure these people are dead. Just like, yo,
those were just actors.
Yo,
like theater actors.
Yeah, Jar Jar's outside. Just like, and I've got you all from Craigslist. It's a really easy gig. I was like, okay.
Just do a flashback. Be like, hey, maybe you don't have the budget for it, but like my son's trying to be an actor. Could he just be a part of this too?
Sure.
And we're like, sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. Does he look? Yeah. Just I got an extra costume.
Just crushing this guy. Windpipe.
Just one at a time. And Jar's like,
son.
Oh my god.
Like, wow. Jar Jar's like, war is hell. Okay, so that's fun.
Oh boy.
We won't do that.
A spicy meatball. Okay.
When I was thinking about Star Wars, I got up a bit, it's like instead of like, oh, it's a truck on a freeway, is it like a floaty bubble and it goes underwater? And then instead of like going in a tunnel, it goes in like a fish tunnel and then like a big fish eats the bubble and Jar Jar's inside the fish stomach. He's like, look, everybody, we got 5 minutes. Everybody thinks you got eaten by a fish. These fish always vomit.
Sorry, what?
These fish always vomit out.
Oh, wait, Matt, are you saying that the best way to get from C lead to New Centrif is through the Planet Core.
Yes.
Oh shit, a Planet Core heist?
Planet Core heist,
oh,
dude.
Oh shit, are you fucking kidding me?
They have the freeway overpass.
Because they're both
the
Kunkins, right? Yeah. So they can just swim.
Yes.
Fuck, that's dope as shit.
This is the Star Wars. This is the Star Wars I was looking for.
Fucking hook it into my veins, please.
Where's the prisoners? Like, oh, he went into the Planet Core. It's, you know, things happen down there.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Yes, it starts out heat style, right? Yeah. Like, it's the convoy, because you want to give it that heat flavor of, like, mm-hmm. the urban environment and all that stuff. But then you do, the first turn is that the ship wrecks into the water.
Yes.
And then as it's sinking, Jar Jar busts the door open and unleashes it. He's like, I've got a, what is it, a bongo? He's got a ship hidden underwater that they're going to take to New Centrif.
Yes.
And then she's like, nice try. I'm getting that ship by myself. I don't trust you, right? Like, that seems like an easy fucking.
The idea, though, I was thinking it's just straight up, it just looks 100% like an armored vehicle from Heat, and it's like literally going along a forest road, and like it's literally people on motorcycles, and then the camera's following the truck, and the truck just falls into the water, and then little propellers come out, like, it starts going down. It's like, yeah, this is the Heat, this is the armored vehicle that goes on roads and underwater.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like that. That's the path. It's again, it's like going over a freeway overpass. Like, Jar Jar's gonna break out Krokey underwater because Gungans can just swim under there.
Yeah, and then
and nobody will blink an eye if the vehicle takes, you know, 5 extra minutes under the tunnel because it's, you know, it's the abyss. Like, all communication shut
down.
Oh, so
you
would
do that.
Yeah, the communication blackout.
That's what he's saying. Krokey's like, huh, idiot. Like, you don't think I've already fucking thought this? There's a whole Gungan army underwater that's going to break out Krokey.
He opens the door, and then there's like 12 scuba rebels with guns, like, ready to bust around.
Darth
Vader, like, who the fuck
had,
is this guy?
Oh, he says he do the Thunderball action scene. There hasn't been a good underwater action scene in a while.
This is dope as hell.
Because then Emperor's like, can you trust him? He's like, please, I have, like, you know, I always have backups. And then there's fucking Imperial soldiers on both sides of the cave in fucking scuba gear, and they'll fucking dive in because it's been 5 minutes. It's been too long.
Or it's not even scuba gear, bro. It's just stormtroopers. They can already breathe underwater. Boom, reveal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, stormtroopers, there's underwater stormtroopers.
Are there?
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean,
where?
I've just made that up. I'm
100% made that shit up. You made that shit up.
I would bet heavy money that that aqua stormtroopers.
I'm looking for the phrase underwater stormtrooper, and they have the aquatic assault stormtrooper, the sea troopers, if you will.
Like, they look like the dudes that are riding the things in Return of the Jedi, but they got little scuba tanks.
Surprisingly, this actually allows it to go right for Jar Jar, because it gets so out of control that Jar Jar sincerely gets to save Krokey and get his own life in danger, and Krokey's gonna have to, like, will essentially believe it.
So, all right, so what you're saying is the original plan is that they're gonna move her through the Planet Core.
Yeah.
They're gonna fake engine trouble, and then Jar Jar's gonna be like, I sabotaged the ship. I've got a pod waiting.
Yes.
Let's get you to the rebels. I wanna get out of here. Like, I'm in danger too.
There's an underwater tree that goes down in front of the bridge, and the two people are like, wait here, prisoner, we're gonna go check this out. Two darts hit them, and they're, you know, they're fake darts because they're not gonna actually kill them. And Jar Jar's like, I'm here to save you.
I got the perfect thing to stop them. Mm-hmm. A big bubble. You know, because a boat can't go through a bubble.
Oh, it's just an air pocket?
Would a boat pop the bubble?
No, but it's just an air pocket. So the boat goes, it goes whoop, and just falls. It's like, this is weird. This is a big pocket of air in here. We can't
Like, you know, on the...
Like, in the cave. Like, there's an air pocket.
On the ground?
I mean, that's... Freddy's actually right. In a tunnel, if you could pump air into a tunnel to make an air pocket, submarine going
so
through would suddenly just crash because there's air.
And a bunch of air.
As long as the
tunnel is
shaped
the right way. We didn't build this
for
air. We explicitly built this for water.
That's such a wild image, because then Jar Jar can just walk out.
Yeah.
Like fucking Magneto. Not Magneto. Whoever can move water. Like fucking
whoever can walk around in air. You know, one of those superheroes.
You know, like Aquaman, how they, like, even though they're underwater creatures for some reason, they make air bubbles to talk in that fucking stupid ass movie. God, I hate that movie. But yeah, they do that. They just like make... But Frey, you're right. That's a crazy idea. You can literally stop any fucking submarine by making an air pocket wherever they're going.
Yeah.
Well, but it would have to be an air pocket that they...
In a tunnel, because a tunnel, you know, is all craggy and stuff. So, as long as you have, like, an up, you know, like a toilet pipe, as
but
long
yes,
as there's one part that moves
it
up
it has
and down.
To be attached to the bottom of the tunnel. Yeah,
listen, Will, have you ever got a boba stuck in the boba straw? Imagine that, but air.
That's exactly how Darth Vader explains the plan at the beginnings with his Neutro sludge.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, because he's just sitting there blowing bubbles, and they're like, Vader, can you stop blowing bubbles? Do you have any ideas to fucking add to this conversation? He's like, I've figured it out.
It's like a scene in Beautiful Mind where he figures out everything by looking at the reflection of the prism of light on the glass, and he's like, I know economics now. It's like that.
I know Dogecoin now.
I know Dogecoin. Okay, well, just for the sake of that's different. I like that. I like this. It's an air bubble.
That's very fun.
So, like, yeah, this thing literally just fucking crashes onto the ground, and they walk out, and they're in this fucking air bubble.
And it's and secretly like, Darth Vader using the Force to create an air bubble
that's
to
good.
Buy Jar Jar the time to do this thing. And then Jar Jar
must have been a fish fart, is what they say. Must have been a fish farted in here.
Oh, man, a fish farted in here.
And then they're like,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
And then Kroger's like,
there's no fish fart.
There's no fish fart here. This is a trap.
No, Croquet's like, if this is a fish fart, this surface is 90% methane, which means if I light this death stick, we'll all be dead.
Holy
she
shit.
Lights the death stick, and then she blows it out, and then she pulls the gun on Jar Jar. It's like, who's setting you up?
That's the most Breaking Bad shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. That's what I think when a character... Yeah, Breaking Bad. Yeah, you guys remember Breaking Bad?
Heisenberg with that hat and a
that.
Fish fart.
I love her calling the bluff. If this is a fish fart, then we're all going to fucking go to hell right now. And Jar Jar's like, no, don't do it. And then Liza, nothing happens. And she pulls the gun out.
Got him. And then she gets him.
Where does air bubble come from? You can't do that. Okay. So, yes. Okay, this is very good. They are taking her to the planet core, whatever, some underwater passage to the execution site.
So, yes. And the plan was they hit this air bubble. They conk out. Jar Jar's got a knockout dart.
Yes.
He shoots the two guys to knock them out, busts her, and I was like, I've got a pod waiting on the other side of this. Or he's got it hidden under a tarp in the air bubble, right?
Yes.
Like, it's hidden behind a rock. He's like, we just got to push this out there, and we can get going.
Yes.
And you can take me to the rebels, and they'll never know what happened, right?
Yeah.
And then...
she's like, I don't trust you.
She doesn't
buy it.
Right?
One, I don't need your help, and two, I don't trust you. Yeah.
Okay, so this is all very good, right? Because it's like we have a fun little bit of, like, cool... Star Wars action. We sell a couple of toys because we now got the aquatic vehicle that goes into the planet core.
Finally.
And we're not even at the action part yet.
So then you do that. I just love it. Just hitting this bubble and then it plopping onto the ground is very funny. And then Jar Jar knocks out the two guys and then is like, Croquet, I'm busting you out of here. So yes, we don't want her to believe Jar Jar. That obviously needs to be the next turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she would find the trick because it was literally
like
a ship.
Hang out. It's probably better for it thing while
I think
he's
that needs
talking to
that, the best place for that ship to go off is like in the rebel base, probably, right? Like at the very least, it feels like she wouldn't believe him. She, you know, puts the gun to his head or whatever, right? Or she's like,
yeah, Croquet should be pretty hard here. Croquet is like, well, you know, there's two options. Either you're not telling the truth, I'm going to shoot you, or you are telling the truth, and then I have to be careful, and you're just you're just a sacrifice that needs to happen in the war, and I hope you understand. It's like, either way, I'm going to shoot you.
What if
it's
you like, do shit? What if you do
it's like Army
that
of Shadows
she's
shit.
Like, prove it, and then he does have to shoot the two guys he just knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, this time, don't set for stun. And she shoves the gun into his hand, and then he's like, fuck, I gotta kill these two guys to convince Croquet that I'm on her side.
He'd be hard as fuck, and then he's like, there, do you believe me now? And then, like, all the Gungans come up behind her. She's like, no, now I just know what you're willing to sell your soul for. And she's like, I still don't believe you. And now I know you're also the sort of person that fucking shoot to. She's just like, she calls him out. She's like, you're fucking pathetic. You're
you
no better than
do
anybody.
That they capture Jar Jar,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to try to hostage Jar Jar back to the Empire. Or
and
whatever,
then he's
got
to
right?
try to convince them. And now he's really.
Or they're going to execute Jar Jar. And then he's like, you don't understand. They're going to blow up the city or something like that.
Okay. That's fun.
It's a good scrape. It's
and then Darth scrape. Vader and all of them are just, they're just trying to capture them all because they're like, well, fuck, this all went to shit. Like, we got to catch Croquet and everybody. They don't care about Jar Jar. Like, they're like, Jar Jar, fuck this up. Grab them all, right?
So, okay. All right.
And they put Jar Jar on the front of their underwater machines, like Fury Road, like Mad Max. He's just strapped to the front, and Croquet and all the Gungans are swimming through the water, and all the subnautical stormtroopers are chasing them. You get this cool fight or whatever.
There's two ways I could see that going.
Mm-hmm.
You could either do Jar Jar refuses to do it, and this is the first person Jar Jar stands up to.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, fuck this, fuck you. The whole, I'm sick of ends justify the means. You know, like blah, 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 you know? And again, maybe it's like, you want to do that Departed level. And it's like, if you really fucking think I'm not on your side, you shoot me in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts it back on her. And he's like, do it. You know, like, it's like that, there's nothing better than they grab the gun and put it, do it.
Do it.
And then maybe that's how he actually sells it to her,
mm-hmm.
by telling the truth. You know, like, he is actually being raw in this moment. Then you do the classic, like, she grabs and then she just knocks him out.
Yes.
And then you do...
I'm wondering if you do that here, or do you do that again? The Gungans come first and it's a chase, and then, like, he is alone. The stakes are even higher because there's no help. There's no Imperial soldiers around him, and it's like he's alone in the jungle now. And she's like, you know, I lost like 5 men like to do this bullshit. Like, I know that was a trick, like, you know, and it's like, you get it there. And he's like, yeah.
I don't know if you need more action, actually. Because think about it, like, you get to this trick, right? Like, you get to the switcheroo.
Yeah.
You have this moral test, right? Like, prove to me that you're not on their side, right? Which seems very simple. And then you have, he counters that with a really compelling character thing, which is like, no, I'm not going to I'm not going to kill somebody to prove that I'm a good person. I'm done with that.
There's just a few, on a pure plot level, it just does feel like, not to be the nitpicker, but I'm just like, really, like, the Empire, like, just like, put Jar Jar there and they don't have any like plans or backup or like helping anybody. So like, because at that moment you might as well just like had him walk into the cell and be like, here, let me grab you. Like, I mean, I like that moment, but you also like, it feels like you need to earn it a bit. And like, then I feel like Croquet is kind of dumb because I'm just like, really, it's just as strong as like, I'm not going to do the thing that you told me. Like, I get the motivation, but like, needs to be some blood spilt in this.
Yeah, you want it to be at the
Yakuza
climax
happens
of a...
after like they shoot like 20 people in the Yakuza house. Like, like the blood on the mouth, like beforehand, like we've just spilled blood together. Like, you would not trust me? Then shoot me right now. You know,
you could do, hear me out, hear me out. You could do that. The car breaks down, right? There's a squad of guys on the outside. You do that. He sneaks into the back and is like, this bubble is my idea. I've got the way to get us out of here. He gives her a gun and it's like, you and I are going to blast our way out.
Yes.
But then she's like, you idiot, like, I don't need your help. And then you do like a whole gunfight essentially erupts in this bubble because like she's got a team that's doing this thing.
And again, prove, and the reason it's a complication is because the Empire coming down, like, again, it's the classic, you know, you said you would come alone sort of thing. It's like, obviously he's not saying I would come alone, but he's like, look, I'm here. I did this by myself. I want to break you out. I'm coming back to the city. I want to help you. I've been a governor this whole time. Just get information. I got information. And then she's like, I've got an escape plan anyways. And then they come. And then the Empire shows up 2 seconds later. She's like, oh, interesting. For somebody who did this all on their own without the Empire's help, all of a sudden the Empire's here. It's like that proves to Croquet, even more than GPS, since we're not going to have her see the GPS, that essentially is going to be hard. Again, then after this fight, it's like, I'm going to shoot you right now. And it's like, what, you got to trust me. He's like, really? Really? You're on our side? The entire fucking Empire was there to protect you. Like, I don't trust anybody. I don't trust anything. And again, like, it's like two options. Like, again, it's like either you're telling the truth and you're stupid, in which case you're a liability, or you're lying to me, I'm going to fucking shoot you dead right now. He's like, fine, then shoot me. You know, yeah, I know we're brothers, you know, sort of thing.
It's like a sandwich. Yeah. You're just destructing it layer by layer. So you're saying that basically there's a backup team waiting to rescue Jar Jar if this goes south.
Yeah, if anything happens, whatever could happen. Like, Croquet kills... It was more likely that they have it just in case Croquet kills Jar Jar. They still don't want Croquet to escape.
This is classic. Our first draft, after going through this, the number one thing I would do is cut down by half the number of times somebody grabs Jar Jar by the throat and pins him to a wall, because it's such a dramatic thing. But if you were to do, like, she grabs him, and then that, like, you know, it's the classic, like, that squishes the... Or again, it's just because they're in the middle, they can't hear Jar Jar or something like that. Or he's supposed to give a signal to let them know he's okay.
Yes.
Right? That the plane is going off without a hitch.
Yes.
It goes too long. So then they're like, we got to get in there or we're going to lose Croquet for good. And so then they send in the guys, right? Like, yes, that makes the most sense.
And then Croquet, again, there was a plan to save Croquet anyway. So now they're literally poor Jar Jar's in the middle of this battle. And again, yes, the Empire shows up, just makes it hard for him to convince Croquet. And I think Croquet, now what started as Jar Jar's going to save Croquet, now Croquet kidnaps Jar Jar. And then, yes, they barely escape or whatever. You do some action scene and however much, you know, Jar Jar's a part of it, or he can... Yes, I think he tries to help, and like, yes, I think they escape and they are out in the middle of the forest. And then you get this moment where Croquet is going to just shoot Jar Jar and bury him out there because she's like, I don't trust you at all. Yeah. Again, Army of Shadows show would be like, if you really do have information, give it to me and hopefully it'll help the rebellion. But either way, I have to kill you. Like, I can't trust you. Like, again, an Army of Shadows is fucking darkness of like, once you're uncertain, it's like you're fucking down sort of thing. Oh, here we go. Here's a good thing. Again, the Gungans show up and they just shoot the two people that were just like friends of Jar Jar. Yeah, they shoot the two people. And then they're all like, hey, Croquet, just shoot Jar Jar and let's go. And Jar Jar is explaining, like, I'm a good guy, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you are then cross-cutting to Darth Vader's like, it's been too long, like,
yeah,
bring people down.
Get
there.
In there, yeah.
So the moment, it's almost like Crookie's like, I don't know, maybe we can trust him. The Empire shows up,
yes,
behind him to say Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And then she tries to shoot Jar Jar, Jar Jar ducks. I would do the way that ends is Jar Jar smuggles himself on to Crookie escaping, because, like, he's not going to give up. He knows that, like, again, he's taking the risk that, like, he's going to probably show up and they might just shoot him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he, like,
oh, yeah,
there's,
yeah,
like, a big gunfight, and, like, Jar Jar, like, sneaks onto, like, some Gungan thing, and then they, like, escape away, and then you would do Croquet's like, that was too close or whatever, and they're like, Croquet, we have a problem. Mm-hmm. And then Jar Jar rolls out from underneath. He's like, I'm telling you, I'm a good guy. And they point guns at him, you know? And then it's like, that's, like, the fun.
That's fun. End. Okay, so yes. So yes, then the turn is, oh my God. Okay. Let me see if I can digest this. So they hit the bubble. Jar Jar's like, let me sneak you out of here, right? She, you know, it's like, fuck you, I don't need your help, you know, like, I'm gonna, whatever. He's like, no, you don't understand, they're gonna blow up all this shit and blah, 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 blah. She's like, I can't trust you, Jar Jar, sorry. And she's about to shoot him, and then the rebels attack, right? Yeah. Or again, the rebels, we do this thing with the rebels, right? Yeah. Jar Jar's trying to convince her not to kill him.
Yes.
And in the middle of him convincing her not to kill him, yes, you do that.
The Empire's coming, like, Jar Jar, our friend, we're here to save you, essentially.
Yes, and you can even literally do the thing if you wanted to, like, the rebels kill the guys, right? Yeah. He's like, you know, come on, like, there's, like, you know, shit's gonna happen. Like, this is bad news or whatever. You just like, all right, you want to join us, prove it. And then she's like, kill this guy. Yeah. And he's like, I'm not going to kill him. Just if you're going to kill him. He's almost got her sold.
Yes.
And then right when that's about to happen, the Empire shows up and she's like, you fucking rat.
I knew it.
Blammo.
There's a cool fight in the tunnel and you're following Jar Jar, and Jar Jar's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And again, he wants to help Crookie. He knows if he lets Crookie get away right now, they're going to blow up the city.
Oh,
right?
Can we actually? Okay. All right. Hear me out. Rather than you just, he hides or whatever, right? Here, like, on her ship, here's what you do. So she's like, you fucking rat. She tries to kill him and he dodges or whatever, right? And then you do, now there's this pitched battle raging. The rebels are trapped. Jar Jar's like, ugh. He sees that mounted cannon on top of the ship, and he goes up and he locks and loads and he blows away the Empire so that they can escape. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, does she trust him or not? And then she knocks him out because she can't. And then there's,
she doesn't know. Yeah, she'll take him with
him. They knock him out and take him prisoner to interrogate him, and he wakes up in the rebel base.
I like that. Let me just pitch another ending idea that I was thinking of, but that works too.
And so, I like him joining the action scene finally, you know?
Also, here's what you could do during this fight. He's about to fall, and maybe we have to save this maybe for later, but he's about to fall into the turret and nut himself again. But then he crosses his legs real quick and gets on it and stands on it like a surfboard, and he doesn't. And it's like Jar Jar has learned
how to nut himself on a turret.
Exactly. You know, this is the different Jar Jar we're dealing with now. The audience takes one look at that and they're like, this is a whole new ballgame, baby. This is a new Jar Jar. We've never seen this level of.
Actually, you know what? Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You do, in the middle of this pitched battle, he sees that a trooper has gotten onto the turret and is slowly turning it towards where the rebels are pinned down to blow them up. And he runs and he jumps. He deliberately nuts himself on the turret to tip it over. Over so it fires into the ground and blows the thing up, and that's how he saves.
There you go.
He's like, oh, and then he falls on the ground, and then he's dying or whatever. And then you do that, then they're like, wow, he like really
he took it.
One for the team, right?
He took one for the team. Let's knock him out and bring him along. Yeah,
and they blow up the tunnel or whatever, and they escape or whatever it is. They escape. That's fun.
Yeah,
yeah. That's fun. The only thing I'm like, obviously, if they were not so sure about Jar Jar, even they were like, I feel like the first thing they would do is like scan him for bugs or like double check his clothes or whatever. Can you do like a cool Star Wars thing? Like when he puts like the tracker on, it like goes into his skin, you know, like a Matrix.
Yeah, I kind of assume that was what was happening.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
There's also like, honestly, there's part of me where like, we could just cut the tracker. Like, I don't know that we need it, but let's talk about that next week.
Yeah, we can figure out.
All right. Or not. So when we come back, a bitchin' aquatic action scene that, of course, will climax.
Heat meets Thunderball? What's it? Wait, what's
Heat meets Thunderball.
It is Thunderball.
Heat meets Thunderball with a dash of Jar Jar nutting himself at the end.
Yes.
We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface, well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek, what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Aether Sea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone. every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Exterior, Naboo Forest, day. A military convoy, two tanks escorting an armored personnel carrier, glides through a dense forest. Amidst the trees lie rusted Trade Federation war machines, moss-covered relics of some forgotten Clone Wars skirmish. The APC plows over a long dead battle droid jutting up from the forest floor. Interior transport, day. The bump jostles Jar Jar, sweating nervously, flanked by two guards and sitting face-to-face with Croquet Seal. She slumps in her seat, beaten, broken, shackled. The fire that once lit her eyes has been completely extinguished. Jar Jar steals a guilty glance at her, then quickly looks away. Interior command center, day. Vader and Palpatine stand in front of a holographic tactical display. A map tracks the convoy's location, and a medical readout shows Jar Jar's vital signs as picked up by his tracker.
Are you sure he can do this, Vader?
If he fails us, I have a strike team standing by. Croquet Seal shall not escape our grasp.
On the map, the convoy reaches a lake. A hologram of the convoy commander appears before them. Matt Arnold will play the part of the convoy commander.
Lord Vader, we have reached Gamma Point.
Much Holy deeper, shit. Much deeper than
Excuse
I thought.
Excuse me, I can only be the one deep voice
Excuse
guy.
Excuse me, fire this man.
Kill this sexy man immediately.
I was going to do the normal, like, goofy guy.
Lord Vader. I thought every Imperial, like, was like, that
no,
wasn't
this is the
Vader.
Commander. This is convoy commander.
This okay. is convoy commander.
The army runs on logistics. This man knows what he's talking about.
Chris Christopherson is convoy commander.
Excellent. Commence passage through the planet core.
Exterior, Naboo Forest, day. The convoy veers off the path and hovers over the surface of a large lake. The vehicles shift and transform into submarines and dive beneath the surface. Exterior lake, underwater, day. The ships descend to the bottom of the lake towards a yawning chasm that leads into a subterranean tunnel network. Interior transport, day. Jar Jar peers anxiously at a porthole window as they approach the tunnels. He taps on a metal hatch on the wall. It pops open, revealing the transport cockpit on the other side. The pilot and convoy commander manning the helm.
Be careful, there's a lot of big, big fishes in the core.
Heh, you haven't been down here lately, have you, Governor?
Jar Jar frowns quizzically.
This guy's like a fucking shit
brick. Patrick Warburton over here. Yeah. Jar Jar frowns quizzically, but when the convoy hits their floodlights, illuminating the tunnel, he gasps. Exterior, planet core tunnels, day. Once a thriving aquatic ecosystem, the core is now covered in toxic waste. The convoy dives through a desolate underwater graveyard of dead coral reef and dying, sludge-choked megafauna. Interior transport, day. Tears well in Jar Jar's eyes as he looks out the cockpit window.
Thanks to your new industrial efforts, it's never been safer to travel through the planet core.
Sorry, I get to say it too.
Jar Jar looks away in shame and catches Croquet glaring at him with burning, hate-filled eyes. Interior command center, day. On the map, the convoy pushes deeper and deeper into the tunnels, approaching a blinking red X. The convoy's tracking icons, as well as Jar Jar's vital signs, begin to flicker and glitch out. A comms officer addresses Vader.
We're getting magnetic interference from the planet core. We'll be out of comms range for 2 minutes.
Then it is time, my fellow deep voice commanders,
to enter the planet core.
That's the name of this episode, is the planet core.
Interior planet core tunnels, day. A small device sits on the tunnel floor, illuminated by its blinking red light. The floodlights of the convoy shine in the distance, drawing near. Interior transport, day. The pilot gets an error message on her dashboard. She taps the communicator.
Command? Command? Do you read?
On hearing this, Jar Jar narrows his eyes. He slips a small button out of his sleeve and into his palm and presses it.
Forget it. We're getting interference from the core. We'll be right back.
Dear listener, you're probably wondering why we're laughing, and it's because before this, we were all cracking up at how John Rhys Davies, as the boss Nass, goes, the planet core,
the planet
stankiest
core.
Voice of all time. So now it's an arms race to see who can say the planet core in a deeper, stankier voice.
We'll try to check that by not putting the word planet in front of it, but I still saw it. I saw the word.
Forget it. We're getting interference from the core. We'll be back in range soon. What the hell is that?
Through the window, they see a massive air bubble expand violently in front of them. The transport smashes into it. Interior, planet core tunnel, day, and crashes into the dry, rocky ground on the other side. A dome of shimmering water surrounds them. Interior transport, day. Alarms blare. The troopers in the back stagger to their feet. A shifty look comes over Jar Jar.
What happened?
Hit some kind of air pocket. Stay put. We're checking it out.
The pilot and convoy commander climb out of the ship. The troopers turn to each other and shrug.
An air bubble? This far down in the planet core?
Probably a giant squid fart. Blam, blam! Jar Jar draws a blaster pistol from his belt and zaps the troopers with stun bolts. They crumble to the floor. Jar Jar grabs the keys off of one of them and rushes to release Croquet's restraints.
Misa busting you out of here. Can you some move?
But to his surprise, Croquet begins to laugh.
Croquet?
Yusa, timing is impeccable. Her eyes turn to the window. Jar Jar follows her gaze. Exterior, planet core tunnel, day. As the pilot and convoy commander work to repair the transport's busted repulsors, six resistance fighters on aqua speeders blast through the water wall and land in the air pocket, guns blazing to cut down the Imperial soldiers, secure the area, interior transport, day, and burst through the transport doors, revealing Croquet and an astonished Jar Jar on the other side.
Commander, we're busting you out. Can you move?
Wow, this is lucky. Yusa busting Croquet out, Misa busting Croquet out.
Croquet snatches Jar Jar's blaster and points it at his head. The resistance fighters draw their rifles on him as well. Jar Jar gulps and helpfully repeats the last thing he said.
Misa busting Croquet out?
What do we do, Commander? Should we send a message?
The fighter moves a finger to his trigger. Jar Jar looks up at Croquet in fear as she ponders his fate. Enter your command center, day. Vader and Palpatine stare at the tactical map with bated breath.
That's odd. The governor should be back in range by now.
This is the beefiest Imperial. Like, this is like the every musclehead Imperial has been assigned this duty.
I want only meatheads on my details.
I require the buffest himbos.
Something's amiss.
I sense much fear.
Send in the strike team at once.
This is Command. Shadow Squad, move in.
For a line like Shadow Squad, bro.
Shadow Squad.
That's
right.
Dude.
Just made our money in toys for Shadow Squad.
Fuck.
Exterior planet core tunnel, day. The fighters shove Jar Jar out of the transport and onto the ground. He throws up his hands, pleading.
Wait. Misa trying to help you. Misa double agent. Misa been taking down Palpatine from the inside.
Is that so?
Looks like you've been doing a bang up job, Governor.
They said know about your hidden base in New Centrif.
That shuts them up. Croquet stares down at Jar Jar, trying to get a read on his honesty.
They're gonna blow up the whole city and blame it on Yusa. Misa stalled them, bought a few days by announcing the execution. But if Misa don't stop them, thousands of people are gonna die.
Croquet sneers. How can Misa possibly trust you? Jar Jar sighs with resignation.
Yusa don't have to. Yusa could kill me right now and Misa wouldn't blame you. But before Yusa do, take this.
Jar Jar offers her a data pad. He presses a button. A mini hologram of a laser cannon schematic appears.
Yusa got everything you need to stop the attack and save the city. If Yusa wants to kill me, fine. But don't let anyone else die.
He locks eyes with Croquet, pleading. Her icy features soften ever so slightly. She lowers her gun and reaches for the data pad.
Incoming!
A rocket streaks through the water wall and smashes the transport, knocking everyone to the ground. The data pad flies from Jar Jar's hand and skitters across the ground. Jar Jar looks up in horror as Shadow Squad, an elite, heavily armed and armored strike team, breaches into the bubble, guns drawn.
Halt in the name of the Empire!
It's Mickey Mouse. It's Mickey Mouse as the head of Shadow Squad, just like in real life.
Croquet lets out a wild roar and opens fire. The resistance fighters do likewise, and a massive gun battle erupts in the tunnel. Jar Jar scrambles for cover as laser bolts fly overhead. He dives behind a blown-out hunk of the transport ship and surveys the scene. The resistance fighters fall back towards their speeder bikes as they trade fire with the pursuing Shadow Squad forces. Despite their overwhelming firepower, Shadow Squad can't quite pin down the nimble fighters. They draw closer and closer to escape. Jar Jar spots his data pad sitting on the ground in the middle of the crossfire. He looks up at Croquet, almost to the bikes, almost gone for good. A brave look alights in Jar Jar's eyes. He scrambles out of the cover and makes a mad dash for the data pad. With blaster bolts sizzling through the air all around him, he snatches the pad off the ground and finds new cover behind a rock. He gasps with relief until he sees the ground rumbling before him. He looks up and spots an Imperial battle tank rolling into the air pocket, towering over the scene. Boom! It fires a blast from its massive laser cannon into a huge stalactite. Is it stalactites that go over the ceiling?
Stalactite.
Huge stalactite hanging from the ceiling. It crashes down on the speeder bikes.
Stalactite for ceiling.
Oh, there you go.
And stalagmite for ground.
For ground. G for ground. V for vendetta. It crashes down on the speeder bike, smashing the resistance fighter's escape route. Croquet and her friends scramble for cover. Shadow Squad pins them down as the tank rotates its barrel towards them for one final kill shot. Jar Jar watches, horrified. Then realizes what he must do. His face hardens with heroic resolve. Then he climbs. Jar Jar scales the wall of the tunnel, finds a rocky perch near its ceiling, looks down at the barrel of the tank, makes a prayer to the gods, and dives. Right as the barrel zeroes in on Croquet, Jar Jar lands nut first on the barrel from above, knocking it away right as it fires. The miscast laser bolt smashes right into the Shadow Squad troops, blowing them to smithereens. Jar Jar falls off the tank barrel, grimacing in pain. The walls of the tunnel tremble from the blast. The hatch pops open and a pilot steps out, rifle drawn. And a falling boulder smashes into a pulp. The tunnel is collapsing. Another boulder begins to break loose right above Jar Jar. He looks up and sees Croquet and the resistance fighters diving through the air bubble wall to swim away. Thinking fast, Jar Jar spots that blinking device on the ground and smashes it. The air bubble suddenly pops. Water rushes into the tunnel again, right as the tunnel walls begin to collapse. The boulder breaks loose, but the rushing water gives Jar Jar just enough time to swim away.
That's cool.
That's pretty dope,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty cool.
He makes a frantic swim through the crumbling boulders and emerges emerges in a large underwater chamber on the other side. Lights shine on his face, flashlights mounted to the rifles of the resistance fighters. He raises his hands and holds up the data pad, which is waterproof, offering it to them. Croquet swims towards him, takes the data pad, then knocks Jar Jar out with a swift punch.
Nice.
Do-do-do.
Do you remember, is it Hot Shots Part 2? What's the one where he punches the guy in the nuts and he spits his testicles out?
Oh, God.
Isn't that Hot Shots Part 2?
That's Part 2, I think. Yeah. I've only seen Part 2 like once or twice. So I don't really remember it.
When you watch movies when you're young enough, for the longest time, I was legitimately scared that if you got hit hard enough, your testicles could go into your stomach and you spit them out. And I remember I got kneed in the nuts once playing volleyball and my stomach hurt. And like I ran to the bathroom to double check that my nuts were still in the nutsack.
Contra's a rowdy movie for kids. No, I remember that's how I thought sex worked, by frying pieces of bacon tenderly on the stomach of your lover.
I wondered if you got that hot. I mean, I was like 8. I mean, that's dope. The bubble in a cave thing, I've never seen in a movie before. It's a really cool setting, and that whole thing's really fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're rounding the corner into our epic finale of Jar Jar.
The problem is this movie's gotten good enough that now I'm going to be disappointed that it's not made. Like, it's just start off as like a lark of like, ha ha, we did our own movie. Let's just do Star Wars. Now I'm like, I'm already getting angry at Lucasfilm for not doing our movie that we knew would never get made. I'm already getting judgmental.
Not with that attitude, Matt. Not with that attitude, it's not going to get made. Never say never, man.
Never say never.
Well, that's going to do it for Story Break this week. You can head on over to twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or bit.ly/StoryBreakFB to join our Facebook group. Check out the discussion and check out some of the extremely cool fan art that we've got over there. Boys, we have an embarrassment of riches this week.
Yeah, what we got?
Let me just
zero.
Say,
that's why it was
zero.
Embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. We have a new fan favorite character, the Lightsaber King.
Yes. Brilliant. Yes. Yes. So, yes.
Brent Everfolly on Twitter tweeted us a kick ass poster for the Lightsaber King. And we also got a fucking badass storyboard animatic fight scene for the Lightsaber King fighting General Grievous on our Facebook page from Jared McPhee. So thank you, Jared. This absolutely made my day. It's incredibly cool. We also got some more amazing fan art from Storybroke, who sent us a Metroid poster and a poster for our ARMS movie, which was like one of our super duper early episodes.
I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one too. Anyway, so yeah, you can check that all out again at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
All right. Well, you can also find us and a bunch of other podcasts on Maximum Fun. That's MaximumFun.org, the best podcast network around. Head on over there. Listen to their ads. Don't just smash that 15-second like skip button or 30 seconds. Don't do that. Listen to the ads. Like, people put some hard work in
that. That was a dark day for the podcasting industry.
Oh, the moment they had the button.
Apple added that little 15-second skip, right?
I will say this.
That's what that's for. I just use it to like skip over the like long details of different types of tanks and Warhammer novels. I'm like, all right, it's gonna be a little bit before this gets started.
I want to just say this though, by the way, like, you know, as Vader once says, like, be thankful that I don't, you know, whatever,
don't be too proud of this technological terror.
Oh no, what is he saying in Empire, where he's like,
I've altered pray the deal.
That, it would be, I just want to throw this out there, trivial for audio engineers to be like auto ad detecting. Find the point when it's like, oh, the audio quality in this section has changed. When you press this button, it will skip to back when it was like the other audio. Like,
ooh,
it would not be hard, but that's spooky,
don't
right?
Don't even joke about that.
Don't even joke about that.
Don't rewind your podcast. Skip over this part of the podcast if you're not the audio engineer.
Yeah, yeah.
Freddie, what have you done?
No.
Fucking nerds listen to this show.
No!
Are you kidding me? Who thinks listening to a fan fiction Jar Jar podcast? A bunch of nerds. They're going to invent that, especially now that I called them nerds. They're going to ruin us.
Turn listening to ads as part of self-help, and people will do it. Just be like, that's the time to do your 30-second meditation.
Yeah,
like,
mindfulness.
Don't skip. Yeah, mindfulness. Just be mindful. Ignore the ad. Give us the money. Ignore
thank
the
you.
Ad.
Buddha said the best way to achieve enlightenment was to put on a mattress ad while you meditate.
You
yeah, exactly. Thank you, Chad, for also editing this podcast.
Thanks, Chad.
My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
And my name is Matt Arnold. Lightsaber King, where are you going?
The planet.
Mr. Robot Man, what are you doing?
I'm just taking one last look at my coworkers.
Every journey comes to an end.
Remember, Plek, the space will be with you always.
Sorry, who are you again? Is Master Kieran
there? Oh, right. Sorry.
Just calling in.
Friendships will be tested.
Dar, you have to do it. You have to shoot Plek.
Okay.
Well, you shot him so fast.
Destinies will be fulfilled.
I've become a complete bird. I'm flying.
On April 28th, the saga starts concluding.
Guys, we don't have a choice. We have to put on a show.
We can do it in the old barn. We've got the costumes, we've got a stage. We can do it, you guys.
Mission to Zix, the final season on Maximum Fun.